the book of Ruth, and we'll read some verses from chapter 1. Book of Ruth is set in that time when Israel had come out of Egypt. They were in the promised land. They were ruled by judges. They didn't at this time have a king. And the book of Ruth relates the story of one family during that time. The book of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And then from verse 8, following down to verse 18, we have the account of Naomi speaking to her two daughters-in-law, and one of them, Orpah, decides to stay in Moab, and Ruth decides to go on with Naomi. And then we pick up the story in verse 19, and it says of Naomi and Ruth, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 22. If we could turn again, please, to where we were reading in Ruth chapter 1. Ruth and chapter 1. And just before we come to consider God's word, we'll seek his face again in prayer. Let us all pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that those of us who are saved can sing of a shepherd, one we love so well. And we thank thee for the joy and the privilege that it is to be led by him every day. We thank thee for his great faithfulness in drawing us back to himself when we would wander from him. And we pray as we come to consider thy word that we would see more of that one who is our Saviour, the one whom we love and whose we are. And we pray that it would please thee to take thy word and to take what is thine own truth, and apply it to each one of our hearts according to thy will. We realize that we cannot do anything that is acceptable in and of ourselves, and so we ask for thy help. We pray for that cleansing from sin, the guidance of thy Holy Spirit to lead us now. We ask in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. The idea of a wanderer returning home is one that fascinates our minds. As we wait each year for winter to end and for the summer to come, we look out for the return of the swallows. And the return of the swallows at the beginning of summer, it marks to them the end of an immense journey and their arrival at a place of rest and provision. Our own experiences of returning to places that we have known long ago, it brings to our mind people that we once knew, and we note all of the changes that have taken place. Returning home is a joyful thought for the traveller, and yet at the same time there can be certain things that would tinge that enjoyment with sadness. Think of Judah in Genesis chapter 44. He had travelled to the land of Egypt in a time of famine with his brothers to get food. And Judah had promised his father Jacob that he would definitely bring his youngest brother Benjamin home. But when Benjamin is refused permission to leave Egypt, the thought of returning home without him fills Judah with fear. And he says, "For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me?" Yet, whatever the reasons that cause us to leave home, and whatever sadness may accompany our return, yet there is an unavoidable desire that brings us back again. Home is where we belong. Home is where we are safe. Home is where our needs will be met. In Ruth chapter 1 here, we read of a family leaving their home. This family, a man called Elimelech, his wife Naomi, their two sons Mahlon and Chilion, they left their home in Bethlehem in the land of Israel. Times were hard. There was a famine in the land, and thinking that they could survive better elsewhere, they went to the neighbouring country of Moab. In leaving Bethlehem in the land of Israel, they were leaving the home that God had given them. They were leaving the promised land, the land that God had given to his people, the land in which they were to dwell. And their departure from home was a departure from the will of God. Their departure from home was a departure from what they knew to be right. Their departure from home indicated that they were leaving off living a life of faith, and they were going out to live their life based on their own thoughts. But the story does not end there. For we read in verse 6 of the return of one member of that family, Naomi. It says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Naomi reached a point in her life when she realized that she had to go home. And that is what I would like to point your thoughts toward this morning. Naomi's return to Bethlehem. Naomi's return to Bethlehem. Notice, firstly, the place from which she returned. The place from which she returned. This verse 6 tells us that it was the country of Moab from which she made her return to Israel. And we can say that this place, this land of Moab, it was a place of wickedness. It was a place of wickedness. The Moabites were descended from Abraham's nephew Lot. They did not worship the true and living God. They worshipped idols. And in particular, they engaged in the heathen practices of a false god called Chemosh. Their false worship even involved human sacrifices at times. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 25, we can read of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And as they came out of Egypt, they were lured into sin by the Moabites. The Moabites encouraged the people of Israel to sin in the most vile and evil manner possible. And so, Naomi and her family, they were living among such people. Even though as Israelites they would have known the sort of people that the Moabites were. And Naomi's return home from such a place, it indicates how far she had strayed from home. She had left the company of God's people to go and live among the ungodly. And does this not show to us how far the Lord's people can go from him? Perhaps this describes someone here. You have experienced the blessings of God's grace. You know what it is to be saved, to be brought into the family of God. And yet, perhaps today, you are living in a place of wickedness. Difficult times came into your life. Perhaps you were influenced by the bad example of others, and then you left off God's will. You left off fellowshipping with God's people, and your life became tied up with those who live in utter wickedness. This is what happened to Naomi. But remember that it was from such a place that she returned home. And you can do the same. It was a place of wickedness from which she returned, but it was also a place of malice. A place of malice. The Moabites were the enemies of Israel. When Israel came out of Egypt, they wouldn't help them. They hired a false prophet to try and get him to curse them. And then when they got into their land, we read in Judges chapter 3 of how for a period of 18 years, the king of Moab oppressed Israel and they served him until God delivered them from him. Naomi and her family had not gone to live among friends. They had gone to live among the enemy. And how sad it is when God's people find themselves among the enemy. How sad when God's people find the company of the enemy more agreeable than the company of God's people. And yet it can happen. But it was from this place. Living among the enemy, living among those who were completely opposed to God's truth, that Naomi made her return home. And if that is your condition, if you are living among the enemy, then from such a place you can come home to God as well. She came home from this place of wickedness, from this place of malice. It was also a place of grief. This chapter 1 tells us that when she was in Moab, she lost her husband and her two sons. Naomi's husband, who as the head of the home had the primary blame for the family leaving Israel, he died first. Verse 3 tells us, in Elimelech, Naomi's husband died. And then after he died, the two boys married women of Moab, bringing the family into close ties with these heathen idol worshippers. And then verse 5 tells us that the two boys also died, and she was left of her two sons and her husband. She had gone to Moab to seek a better life, to try to find help in a time of famine, and yet she had found death there. And this reminds us that there is nothing but grief outside of the will of God. God's people cannot live happily in disobedience to him. God's people are loved by him, and so he chastens them in their sin that they might leave it. In verse 13, Naomi acknowledges, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me." His chastening hand had brought her grief, but it was all for the purpose of bringing her home again. And your life may be full of grief this morning. And only you can know whether or not that has been caused by the Lord's chastening hand upon you. Not every grief, not every trouble that we experience is caused by sin. There are many who live well for the Lord and they suffer much in his cause. But we're speaking here of that unique grief, that special grief that is caused by straying from the will of God. And if your sin has brought you into grief and pain this morning, then allow it to do for you what it did for Naomi, and that is point you toward home. In her grief, she was led to return home. And so it was from this place of grief and malice and wickedness, that she made her return. But as we think about Naomi's return to Bethlehem, we can notice, secondly, the news that prompted her return. The news that prompted her return. The second half of verse 6, we read, "For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." She heard that God had come. He brought an end to the famine. And this news that she heard, it was news about the nature of God's provision. God had visited his people, giving them bread. This famine in the land, it was the result of the people's sin. But now God had come and he had graciously restored them to his favour. And he had brought an end to the famine by providing bread. This was the means that he used to provide for their needs. He gave them bread. Bread was what would meet their need. Bread would bring an end to the famine. And how challenging this must have been for Naomi. There she was, living among the ungodly, and yet God had moved in mercy, providing bread for his people. And as she heard this news, it must have reminded her all the more that she had lost out with God. She had lost out in her relationship with him, for she heard of him moving among his people, providing them with bread. And you may have done the same. You may have lost out in your own walk with God. You may have wandered far from him in a place of wickedness and sin. And spiritually speaking, this morning you are in Moab. But there is news for you. The Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. And the bread that he has given to us is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our Saviour said of himself in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." He is the bread of life. He is the one who meets all of our needs. And you have no need this morning that he cannot meet. If your heart is broken over your sin and failure, he's the one who came to heal the broken in heart. If you think that your sin is too great to be forgiven, he is the one whose blood cleanses from all sin. If you think that your betrayal of him cannot be purged away, he is the one who forgave Peter. Peter who denied him with oaths and curses. If you need wisdom, if you need guidance to put your life back on track, he is the one who is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is able to meet every need. When he died on the cross, when he shed his blood, he purchased for his people everything that they need. And our sins may cause us to lose out in our enjoyment of God's provision. But God's provision is always there for his people. We have only to go to the bread of life. Only to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find in him all of our needs being met. And so, Naomi, she heard this news concerning the nature of God's provision. The news that she heard, it was also concerning the faithfulness of God's provision. She heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. In hearing this, she was hearing of something that she knew already, or something that she ought to have known already. Naomi came from Bethlehem, and the very name Bethlehem means house of bread. And God had promised that he would give a supply of bread to his people in the land of Canaan. And God is faithful to his promises. God keeps his promises. We can read that promise that he gave to the children of Israel when he brought them into the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy chapter 8, And verses 7 to 9, we read this promise that God gave that he would provide bread in the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and verse 9, the Lord describes the land of Canaan, and he says, "It is a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." And God is faithful to his promises. In spite of the faithlessness of his people, in spite of the many failures of his people, God is faithful to his word. And he had promised bread in the land of Canaan. But he'd also promised something else. Leviticus chapter 26. In this chapter 26 of Leviticus, God promised that if the people sinned against him, he would bring famine into the land. Leviticus chapter 26 explains that in some detail. Verse 20, it says that if they sin against him, your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. God promised that sin would bring famine. And so this famine that had caused Naomi and her family to leave Bethlehem, it was itself a token of God's faithfulness to his word. It was itself proof that God keeps his promises, and God is not only faithful in disciplining his children, but he is faithful in restoring them again. For in this chapter 26 of Leviticus, as we read of the most severe chastenings that God would bring upon his disobedient people, he still speaks of how he will be merciful to them. Verse 44, he says, "I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God." In his great faithfulness, God restores his people again. It's possible to lose out in our walk with him, to leave the place of joy and blessing, and yet God remains faithful. He says, "I am their God. I will not let them go." And in his faithfulness, he restores his people again. And this was the news that Naomi heard, of a God who is faithful to his promises and restores his people. And this news, it prompted her to go home. This is the news that comes to you this morning. There is an unfailing supply in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is faithful to forgive and to restore his wandering people. As we think then about Naomi's return to Bethlehem, we thought about the place from which she returned and the news that prompted her return. But in the third and final place, we have the resolve evident in her return. The resolve evident in her return. Verse 6 says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab." She was resolved. She was determined that she was going to go home. And this determination, this resolve, it was in obedience to God. It was in obedience to God. She knew that God was calling her to come home. And so she responded obediently to that call. Verse 6 tells us that it was the Lord moving among his people that stirred her heart. In verse 13, as we've already noted, she said that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. In verse 21, she says, "The Lord hath brought me home again." God called her to return from the path of sin, and she obeyed. God does not give up on his wandering sheep, but he calls them to return. And perhaps he is calling you to return. Perhaps he has often called you to return from wandering far from him. It is in mercy that he calls you to return. It is in love that he calls you to return. Naomi realized that she had sinned against the Lord. She realized that what had happened to her had been God's just chastening of her. And her return is a picture of repentance. She turned around and she went back to where she had lost out with God. And oh, that you would do the same. If you have wandered from him, that you would, in obedience to his call, not just mourn over what has happened, but return. Come home to your Lord. This resolve that she had to come home, it was an obedience to God. It was in spite of the difficulties. In spite of the difficulties, as she resolved to go home to Bethlehem, she faced some great difficulties. This verse 6 tells us of her daughters-in-law. She had two daughters-in-law that she felt some measure of responsibility for. And she challenged them to see if they were prepared to go with her. And one of them, Orpah, decided to stay in Moab, and the other, Ruth, decided to go with her. But these were not easy circumstances to deal with. Naomi knew, indeed she had warned her daughters-in-law, that she had no way of providing for them in Bethlehem. She was returning to Bethlehem without a husband, without sons. So she was in poverty, she had no family wealth, and yet she was not going to allow that to hold her back. She was resolved to go, in spite of the emotional ties that she had in Moab. Her husband was buried there. Her two sons were buried there. But she wasn't going to allow that to hold her back. She was determined to return home, in spite of the difficulties of that journey, the many uncertainties. How would she be treated and received in Bethlehem? What life would there be for her there now? These difficulties were real, but her resolve was absolute. She was going home. And I don't know what difficulties may stand between you and returning to the Lord, but follow Naomi's example. Be determined, whatever the obstacles may be, I am going home. We can see her resolve there in verse 6, and then how it's worked out in her life. In verse 19, as she went with Ruth, verse 19 says, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem." She kept going until she got home. She had to travel out of the land of Moab. She had to cross the river Jordan into the land of Israel. And then once she got into the land of Israel, she had to keep on going, climbing some 2,000 feet into the Judean hills until she got to Bethlehem, but she was determined she was going home. And oh, that you would have that resolve that today I am going home. This resolve that she had, it was an obedience to God. It was in spite of the difficulties, and it was rewarded by God. Verse 21, we read of her coming back to Bethlehem. She says, "I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty." She acknowledges that when she went out, she was full. When she left the Lord's will, he had been good to her. She had all that she needed. And now when she returns from wandering, she returns empty. And how sin empties a life of peace and of joy and of happiness. The way of transgressors is hard. But what grace and mercy there is in those words. "The Lord hath brought me home again." Sin took her away, but grace brought her home again. The Lord had to remove many things from her, but it was all with the purpose of bringing her home again. And she came home empty. But she would not remain empty at home. Naomi could not have imagined what the Lord would do for her now. A mighty man of wealth would marry her daughter-in-law Ruth. He would restore the family's fortune. And within just a couple of generations from Naomi's daughter-in-law would be born King David himself. And in the fullness of time, from the very same family, in the very same place, Bethlehem, would be born the Lord Jesus Christ himself. She came home empty. But oh, the fullness of God's restoration. And you may come home empty, but the Lord, he fully and he completely restores. And as we think of Naomi returning, we note also that there was one who came with her. As Naomi made her return to Bethlehem, Ruth was coming for the first time. She was leaving her life of sin behind. She was leaving her idolatry, her heathen past behind. She was turning away from sin. She was coming home to God. She was coming to rest under the wings of the God of Israel. And the sinner, coming for the first time, was going to receive the same welcome as the wanderer who was coming back again. And if you have never yet come to the Lord, if you've never come home at all, then there is the same welcome for you. Ruth came with her returning mother-in-law, and she received the same welcome. And so it is this morning that sin that is defiling your heart, that will drag you down to hell, there is a remedy for it, if you will but leave it behind and come home to God. You will find a welcome there. Sins forgiven, peace with God, and a home in heaven. Is it not then time to come home? Naomi had wandered some 10 years in the land of Moab. Perhaps for you it has been much longer. But now it's time to come home. The one who loves you, the one who shed his blood for you, the one who pleads with you, the Saviour himself, he says, come home. And he promises a welcome there. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. The hymn number 216.